part two of episode 409 of the Pop Culture Roundtable, the podcast that actually has more to say. In this episode, we talk about Drawing Monsters documentary, discontinued millennial toys, and modern food delivery systems. I'm Andrew Sale.
I'm Lauren Rubin.
I'm Patrick Hill.
So lean back, loosen your belt, and get ready for a second helping.
I said I always get my 34%.
Week we talk about the dice that we rolled the week before that give us our categories. We pick our topics based on those categories. That's what we're gonna do now. Lauren, why don't you kick us off?
Sounds good. So for my category, I'm gonna talk about something that Doc actually brought up during the drawing board, which is this really cool Mike Mignola documentary that's coming out next year.
Yeah.
When this came up during the drawing board, the Kickstarter was still live. It literally ended March 31st, so about a week ago, unfortunately. But if you want to still back it, they have their Indiegogo available. And so for $30, you can buy a digital download of the movie. And for $60, I think, you can get a like DVD or Blu-ray.
I can't remember, maybe both.
Yeah. And so this is kind of what it sounds like. It's going to be a documentary about Mike Mignola. If you are not familiar with him, you've probably seen his artwork just from like being around pop culture stuff. Yeah, there you go. Andrew has his tattoos on, or tattoos of his artwork on him already. But he's most famous for creating Hellboy. He has a super distinct art style that I'm pretty like. He's like the master of this. Like a million people have kind of like done things adjacent to it afterwards, like Gabriel Ba and stuff. But like Mike Mignola is like the man who made this like popular.
Would you say that he's like the Guillermo del Toro of the comic industry?
I think that's a really good description. Like, he is not like Hellboy and his comics are nothing like Marvel or DC comics. They really are like in their own universe. I mean, they are in their own universe, but they feel very different as well.
Like, it's almost they're their own genre.
Yeah. Like, I can think of things that are like it, but like they're all inspired by Hellboy.
Right,
so that's
exactly.
Like why this documentary needs to exist. Like, there's so many things that kind of like are inspired by Hellboy or even like. Like, have you guys read, like, when Mike Mignola did Batman comics? Like, that's pretty cool stuff. Like, it's totally suited for it, all the, like, dark shadows and stuff. I'm very, very, very excited to check out this documentary. They have pretty much everybody you would, like, want to hear talking about him. And it sounds like it's going to be, like, pretty much everything that, like, Hellboy has ever touched. So, like, the movies, the comics, the games, like, all of it. So, like, some of the people that they've got in the, like, preview and on their list for who's going to be in it are... Neil Gaiman, who I love, love, love. Rebecca Sugar, who's the person who invented like Steven Universe. So like the influence is very, very wide, as you can tell.
Steven Universe is not Mignola-esque.
No, yeah, but yeah. But she's a big comics fan. So like she was influenced by his comics like growing up. So I think that that's like, you know, just goes to show like this is very popular.
Yeah.
You got Doug Jones, you have Guillermo del Toro, Adam Savage, who you love, I know, Tara McPherson, another amazing artist, like lots of people that you would like be excited to hear from, and talking about a really great artist that like, I think lots of us probably love because like, obviously you have tattoos. I have his artwork like up in my house. Like I'm a big Mignola fan. So this is going to be super cool. It comes out, next year, pretty much 1 year from now. So April, 2022.
Yeah.
Yes.
the very first Mondo print I ever tried to go for was the Mike Mignola Bride of Frankenstein. And it was before I understood how Mondo drops work. And I had it in my cart. And then I was setting up my account. And then I was going through the process. And at the end, it said, there's an issue with the stock. And I remember emailing, at the time, a very small Mondo team. There was probably only five people on staff. So it was, I'm sure it was one of the people that we're now friends with. Responding to that email and I was like, what happened? It was in my cart. Why didn't I get this? Something was wrong with your system. Like I was one of those people and it was with a Mike Mignola print, the Bride of Frankenstein piece.
That's crazy. Cause that means you probably had like a pretty good, like chance of having got it back then, you know, even though it was like Mike Mignola, like that's pretty cool.
Yeah.
You were like 1 degree away from it.
Yeah, I mean, I've met Mike Mignola. I've got my photo with him. He's a super cool guy.
Oh, that's awesome.
Very, very chill. Very, like, you would have no idea. that he is a legend in the comic world when you see him at Comic-Con. He's just sitting there quietly, just doing his own thing. And
it's crazy because, like, yeah, he was at Comic-Con the year that I went to, like, San Diego Comic-Con, and the line for him was, like, literally around the, like, corner, like, quite a long wall, and then, like, around the corner the entire weekend. Like, he's...
That's funny, because when I was... Yeah. I saw him at San Diego, and there was... there was no one there when I walked up. Like, literally, maybe he had just gotten back to his booth or there was some big panel happening or whatever. But I remember walking up and just...
You just got lucky.
I was looking at the statues because they had the statues of the monkey with the gun and all that stuff. And I'm like, oh, he's sitting right here. I'm like, hey. And I bought a print and he signed it. And I'm like, hey, can I take a photo with you? And he's like, yeah, sure. And so he came around the booth and we took a picture. I'm like, it seemed so what's the word I'm looking
heard
for?
Heard of now, really.
Yeah, it was crazy. I just must have gotten very lucky because it was...
I've had that happen with, like, other people, but that would be, like, a really big one. That's really awesome.
Yeah.
Super cool.
Yeah.
I was like, I tried to get up there, but, like, he was gone by the time I actually, like, got up there in the line, so I do have, like, a signed piece, but I didn't get to meet him. Sad.
Well, we'll get you there someday, kid.
Yeah.
stick with me, kid.
But I can learn more by watching this documentary, so I will. I think it's going to be really cool, so everybody should check that out.
Awesome.
I will have a link in the show notes to the Indiegogo.
Indiegogo.
All right. Andrew, why don't you take it away?
Sure. So last week I rolled food and present. And ooh. So in preparation for this, I did something that I know that both of you have knowledge in, so
yes,
that we can discuss this. So modern day technology has brought us so many wonderful things. And the idea of having food delivered is not necessarily a new thing. In fact, people have been having Chinese food and pizza delivered for decades. However, the advent these last couple years of things like DoorDash and Postmates and Grubhub and all of these things have been really the salvation for local and franchised restaurants during this last year of pandemic. And so I thought that this would be a good topic to talk about. So what I did was I ordered food from Postmates one day. The next day I ordered food from DoorDash nice. To see how the two compared and do an A/B test of this thing. Here are my findings. I'm not super pleased with either one of them. And here's why. I'm going to tell you the good and the bad. The good is you don't have to get up. You don't have to go anywhere. You can just do it on your phone.
It's true.
You just order your food. The bad is, depending on where you're at and the time of day, it could take your food 45 minutes to an hour to get to you. By that point, your food is no longer fresh. because they make the food when you order it. As soon as they put the order in, the food gets processed and whatever. And then once the food is ready, they assign it to a driver. So then it takes...
Who did you try? What were the services?
Postmates and DoorDash.
Okay, continue.
Here's another thing that I learned. And I also I've talked to somebody who is a Dasher like in this process too. So I've got a little bit of insider knowledge too. Specifically with DoorDash, I think it is also with Postmates just based on my experience. If there is somebody who has ordered food in the vicinity of where the other food that you're picking up is, you can choose. They will ping the driver and they will allow that person to pick up a second delivery while while your order is still being processed, which means you could order your food at 8:15 and they could be making your food. You're supposed to have your food by 8:45, right? Let's say that's what it is. This is a real world example, right? While they're preparing my food, the driver takes a second order. So the second order, they pick up my food, then they drive to wherever the second order is, ideally in close proximity, right? It's probably in the same like shopping plaza or across the street or whatever, pick up their food. Then if that place is on the way to my house, they stop to drop off their food first. It reprioritizes the order in which the food gets delivered. At this point, I am now waiting an hour for my food. I was supposed to get it at 8:45. By the time I get it, it's 9:15. The food is no longer fresh, and it is like it's fine. Like there's a convenience, but what is the price of convenience, right? Like if the food gets there fresh and it's hot,
pretty frustrating.
It is very frustrating. Now here's the deal. That was with my that was Postmates. You can tip after the fact. So I chose no tip, and then I was gonna tip at the end, right? DoorDash, you don't get that option. You have to choose.
I was going
to
say that.
You have to choose your tip on the front end. And so I decided to tip the guy. This was the day after my Postmates. And so I was thinking, surely this is going to be better. I'm going to incentivize my driver to be better than this guy from last night. Mm-hmm. Tipped $4. The same exact thing happened. And my food got there and it was cold and it was no longer good. And at that point, I had already tipped him $4. That is a flaw for me because it de-incentivizes them to actually do a good job.
I do totally agree with that. I don't use Postmates very often. Actually, I've only used it once, but I usually use either Grubhub or DoorDash. And like both of those, you have to tip up front, and it kind of drives me nuts because if something like this happens, which doesn't happen all the time, like luckily I live really close to a lot of the restaurants we order from. So like we're 5 minutes away. If it takes longer than a certain amount of time, we're like, what happened?
Right.
Yeah. You know, but it's just like really frustrating. Like we had one time where like we had ordered food and it took like almost 2 hours to get to us. And Trevor had tipped like $40, like really, really nice tip. And they still were just like, did not care at all. And and he called the person like more than once because the food was taking so long to get to us. And the restaurant is like, there's just no way that it could like take this long given like where the restaurant is and everything else. It felt like he must have picked up 5 orders in between. So it's like, I don't love that. Like, or the alternative is when you have problems with your order, like especially like if the food is bad, you can like write a complaint and they'll usually refund you or whatever. But I always feel like such a jerk. Like it's not like an easy process, or like if they forget a side or something, you have to write like a full complaint. And I'm like, just like, I wish there was like just a button to be like, you forgot my fries. Like,
see, I don't,
you know, don't charge me for this.
Yeah, I don't believe that it is at the, there are going to be certain circumstances where the restaurant is responsible, right? If they leave something out, then that would be the restaurant being responsible. Yeah. But this was, in both of my instances, it was the driver. The driver deciding to take another order to, and I get it. Mm-hmm. Optimize your experience, get more money. I am totally fine with it. But I believe the way that it should function is, you drop off the orders in the priority order that they come in.
Or that like both orders are like should be close to each other, both the like pickup and drop off, not have like the restaurants are next to each other, but then the drop offs are like on the other side of town, because then one person's going to get screwed.
Yeah.
I mean, I've literally had when I lived in Shirts, I had a order get taken to Bolverity before mine got dropped off. Now,
oh my gosh.
Now, let me say this.
How far, what's the time distance?
That's like a 40 minute.
It probably added a 40 minute like round trip to get back to me.
Oh my God.
Okay. I spend about $500 a month on takeout food.
Yes.
And the reason is because of just what my hourly rate is. It's cost me less money to work an extra 30 minutes at lunch. And then take part of what I bill and just put that towards food. So I order delivery nearly every day of the week for at least one meal. And I've used Uber Eats, I've used Grubhub, I've used Favor, I've used, basically all the ones you can use that come to this area.
Right.
Here's been my experience. Favor is a joke. I would not use them. They do not have a good way.
I don't like Favor at
all.
They
do not, at least in my area. Your mileage is going to vary depending on your area. Favor, by the way, is a Texas company, which is the reason I like using them. And they do have a good looking interface. But I have had several times I've placed an order through Favor, and it take plus 2 hours to get there. For one reason
same every time we use Favor,
and there's not a good way to cancel, there's not a good way to whatever, and so I'm done with Favor. I will not use them again. Uber Eats consistently has the best prices, but they have the most inconsistent service. I've had times I've ordered Uber Eats and it shows up in 25 minutes, and I've had times I ordered Uber Eats and it takes an hour and a half. And I will say Uber Eats does have a priority delivery, which is nice. So it says if you pay the extra $1.50 for priority, they will come to you first. And if you have that option, pay for it. But that said, if no one ever accepts the order, it doesn't matter. So if once the dasher or the whatever accepts the order, then that's great from the Uber Eats standpoint to pay priority. Mm-hmm. But again, if it takes them 40 minutes to accept it, that's not awesome. Now, I do live in an area where there may be not a lot of people driving for that service, so that's fine. Their prices are the best, but they're too inconsistent, so I don't like to use them. I consistently have the best service through DoorDash, and DoorDash is absolutely the most expensive. They raise their prices. I'm telling you, you will pay 15% more, 18% more through DoorDash just for the menu items than you pay on Uber Eats. It's a big difference. And then on top of that, when you add in the fees they include, like, you pay an absolute incredible premium for the service, but they have been the most consistent with time. They more often than not get it to me in the window they say they're going to. Again, you still have the issue of if a driver never accepts it, then you're kind of screwed. But what I have found with orders is I do tend to up the tip. By the way, Andrew, I do tend to up the tip to try to incentivize people to take it. I pay for priority if priority is an option. And then the other thing I do is if I know I'm going to want to eat lunch, I'm not going to wait and order at 11:45. I'm not going to wait and order at 11:30. I'm going to put my order in at 11 a.m.
Sure.
If I'm going to want
and have it timed out.
If I want because I want to try to beat the rush that I imagine is going to happen. And so that's the other thing that I try to do. Now, thankfully,
that's smart.
I may have less issues than Andrew because I technically kind of live farther away from stuff. I could see, Andrew, where you get screwed because of how many orders are placed right in your vicinity to restaurants vicinity.
I could have driven to where I was getting the food from three or four times over by the time I got my food.
Yeah,
and it would have been hot, it would have been fresh.
Yeah.
It would have been great. And I would have spent almost half the cost to do it that way. And
that's so frustrating.
And I would have been totally fine. And here's another frustrating element to it. So the people that I've talked to, they said that they more regularly don't get tipped. They just do DoorDash. They regularly don't get tipped at all. And I can't understand that. I get that if people
that's
are
so
using,
mean. I'm
it's
sorry.
Just,
no,
it's
I
just,
know the yeah, reason. Just, do y'all not know the? It's because.
Well, because it's up front.
No. What happened is this news article came out where it showed that your tips didn't go 100% to the driver. Like in the case of DoorDash, it was used to subsidize the cost of the order to DoorDash. So, like, let's say DoorDash told the driver they're going to pay them $4, right?
Yes.
And then you tip I'm sorry. So let's say that you tip $3, right?
Yes.
Well, then DoorDash would still just pay the driver the $4, but three of it would come from you and one of it would come from DoorDash. See what I'm saying? So DoorDash wasn't adding your tip on top of the amount promised to the driver. DoorDash was using your tip to offset the amount they had to pay the driver. So you were subsidizing DoorDash's business. This article...
Okay, that is stupid.
Now, I think they've changed their policy and that's not how it works anymore. But at one point in time in the last 2 years, there were all these news articles coming out about how DoorDash wasn't giving your tip to the driver and they were instead using it to offset their costs. And just set zero as your tip and force DoorDash to pay for it.
See, I didn't know that you could. So they don't show zero as a tip option.
Yeah,
they start at whatever. If you click other, I found this out. If you click other, you can choose. You have to type in zero. The idea that someone would type in zero and then not turn around and give the driver a physical cash tip. Is
say, if you do
insane
that, then
insane to
cool.
me. And that they said that it does happen. They do get cash tips from time to time. But by and large, they regularly do not get tipped. And I don't understand a world where people think that that's okay. I can't
especially
understand
now.
A world. I know, especially now. But in general, like, who in their right mind goes to a restaurant, sits down, has someone serve you, bring their food to you, and you not tip? It is more than just a social contract, it is an expectation as a human being, right?
Yeah,
this is a thing that you do.
Like, even in the situations where I've had the worst service, I still give them some tip because it's like not, you just imagine they're having a really bad day or something. Like,
sure.
I don't know. Yeah. Like, I just can't do it. It's like, that's so wrong.
Yeah. I think a lot of it was, though, spurred, like I said, from those articles that came out. So it's
I hope
looking
that,
those
that
up.
Is giving, That is applying a level of respect and like benefit of the doubtedness that I wasn't giving to it. But that is at least an important thing to note.
Yeah,
I didn't know that, and like I hope that those people then give them cash tips because you're kind of a monster if you don't.
And then, well, because the feeling would be that, well, whether I tip or not, it doesn't matter because they're getting paid the same amount, right? Unless your tip exceeds what DoorDash was planning on paying. Your tip doesn't matter. Now, again, they may have changed that policy by now. I'm just telling you, at the time, that's how it was treated. So,
no, that's fair.
That's an important thing to look up. Yeah, especially if you are a DoorDasher. Not if you're a person who dashes. That's important to know as a dasher. But it's important to know if you are a regular user of DoorDash, know where your money's going, and then support the people who are bringing you food so you can stay on your butt.
Yeah, like, and I understand the price of it is tough, right? Like, DoorDash... Everybody, the other thing is people see the high bill. They see the, I'm paying $20 to get an $8 plate of food.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But there is this other part of it. You have to understand that you would hope that your Dasher and the customer service people and all the people that are employed to make this happen are making a livable wage. You can't expect they can deliver it to you for an extra $2 and that's all it's going to cost. So one of two things has got to happen. Either A, you have to be willing to pay double or whatever the price to get the food. Or B, you have to understand that these customers are going to be abusing their employees or in not paying them a fair wage and fighting against workers' rights. Or C, you have to understand that all these businesses will just go belly up in the next couple of years.
Sure.
Those are the only options. So if you think you're going to keep getting this service and you're not going to pay but an extra $3 for it, then just understand it's either A, going to go away, or these services are going to be lobbying against rights for their workers from now until eternity.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And then in which you're part of the problem, not the solution.
Yeah. So pay people. That's just the reality. That's what you're saying, Andrew. Like, pay people.
Pay people and get vaccinated. This is my platform for the day.
Yeah.
It's...
Amen.
It's crazy. But the idea that I can order food from practically anywhere now and have it brought to my house, in theory, is a very, very nice commodity that not everybody has around the world, and the theory is very nice. That being said, I live so close to things, and Patrick, you know where I live, and you know how close it is to it almost doesn't make sense for me to use either one of these, any of these services, because of the proximity of how close I am.
Unless you can get that priority thing like Patrick is saying and try that out, but still, I know it's another step and it's annoying.
Yeah.
You probably walked to a lot of these places, it sounds like, before it would get to you anyway.
So anyway, I would be interested to hear like how everybody else feels about this. You know, I know that I'm sure that this business has skyrocketed in the last 12 months. I'd love to hear in the Slack channel just some discussion around what your favorite services are. Maybe a couple of horror stories, maybe some really positive things. Maybe I need to hear more of the positive right now because I've had two very bad experiences in the last 72 hours.
That sucks.
And so, anyway, the modern meal. That's what this category should have been called. Dang it. No.
That was good.
Edit it back in. There we go. All right, Patrick, take us home, buddy.
Great. Yeah. So I'm going to be talking about past toys. And I am excited about this. We posed a question in Slack about what are your favorite childhood toys, and we had a lot of responses. And in fact, we had...
Oh, I thought it was what are your favorite childhood Tonys. That's why I said Tony Danza.
I can understand the confusion. I should have also corrected the misspelling. But we had somewhere between 40 and 50 different toys submitted in the Slack, and we've whittled this down to a tight 15. And now we're gonna rank them. Okay, we're gonna put them. We're gonna create a tier list for them. Now the idea of a tier list. These are our tiers. I'm going from worst to best. We have a D, we have a C, we have a B, we have an A, and then the best is gonna be S. All right, that's like super. All right,
S for best.
S for best. So. that's how we're going to rank these, and we're only ranking toys. So I said we narrowed it down. We narrowed it down to 15 toys that are you cannot get anymore. They're discontinued.
Mm-hmm.
And they're toys you've heard of. Mm-hmm. And so this is our top 15 tier list for discontinued millennial toys. It's the best way I know how to say it. So I'm going
to
bring up
a great way to describe it.
So I'm going
to
bring up the first toy. And like I said, the three of us are going to rank it collectively. This is not a Patrick ranking. The three of us are going to rank it. And we're going to encourage people. My goal is to post the tier list so you can rank them yourselves in the near future. But anyway, so look out for that. But the three of us are going to rank it. So I'm going to go through the toys. And again, you have to tell me, are they A, B, C, D, or S tier?
Okay.
Let's go. All right. Number one. Moon shoes. Now, moon shoes were something that I wanted.
Oh, those are amazing.
Moon shoes were something that I wanted but never had. Because I was convinced that I would just be able to walk in them. I didn't think they would actually bounce me. I just assumed that I would just be jumping and all the bands would stretch all the way out. And then like that's all that would happen.
See, I assumed moon shoes were the advent of the rolled ankle. Because...
Yeah, basically.
Because what you're adding is like 7 or 8 pounds. Yeah, 7 or 8 pounds of material to each foot. And then adding to that rubber bands to destabilize your movement. So like,
well, but you're also like sinking your foot into this like box with like a spring trap sort of intended to like bounce around. Like,
yeah. Anyway, I super wanted them. Like
I remember having a lot of fun playing with these. Like,
oh, so you had them. So Lauren, what do you rank
actually
them?
My friend had them. But I'd say maybe like A plus, like an A, because like actually using them is very difficult from what I remember, but they were very fun and like I have really good memories.
Should they
of
not
these.
Be B tier because they maimed children actively?
This is speculation. Do we know this? Do we have stats? Like,
oh yeah, 100% of every child who used these broke their ankle. That's what it says on the internet.
So you're saying that this is, that for you, this is A.
Okay,
this
wait.
Is A level.
I started to Google moon shoes injuries, and it said, "Are moon shoes dangerous?" So I'm guessing that yeah, like people consider them dangerous.
The fact right, that well, people are still Googling that is
yeah, I'll take it down to B. Yeah.
Okay,
problematic.
Next is
the first article is 6 of the most dangerous toys ever made.
Great.
Okay, so we're making it a B for maiming children, but I wanted moon shoes so bad, I never got them because they would just function like shoes. Skip it. So the skip it would go around one ankle. Yes. You would have to swing it in a circle.
Like a chain gang.
Yeah, you would have to... It had a plastic... Mm-hmm. What? It's not... It wasn't like a rope. It was just a plastic rod with a ball at the end, a plastic ball at the end. And you would spin it around you. Yeah, with a step counter. And you would swing it around with one foot and jump over it with the other. So you made like a skipping motion. And it would count
it's kind of
how many
jump
times
jump ropes
you
without moving your arms.
Yeah. Now...
And if you didn't have any friends... It's just like
my wife.
Jump ropes for only children.
My wife loved her skip it. She said she would spend hours in the driveway. However, I talked to Blake in our community, Jetpacks, and he said it's one of the worst toys ever made. So I don't think we're going to get S tier with this.
Was he hit with one? Like repeatedly? Like, what happened to him as a child?
I have no idea.
He couldn't skip it. And hence he hates them.
He was too busy playing with his pogo ball. He didn't care about skip it.
Is that a euphemism?
Yes, that's a euphemism. But I have heard a bit of hate for skip it. So I'm thinking
I think they
C-less.
Were hard. Like
they
I remember
are,
it not being
hard.
Easy to do as a
also,
child.
Also, if you had rotund ankles, it just moved so slowly. You had to swing your leg around to get it to do it.
I couldn't get my
around your foot.
I couldn't get my foot into the skip it because my foot was too big. My heel was too big and I wouldn't like go in.
This is a sad
like the
story.
Hula hoop for the foot is what the skip it was.
Right. Skip it is going.
I'm gonna say C-less.
I'm gonna say C because I remember they're fun, but that was a tough toy.
All right, I already know where this is gonna go. Pogs.
That's an A.
Yeah,
is it an S or is it an A?
Oh, I thought we were saying there was only one S. I thought we were saying there was only one.
No. Anything can be an S.
Oh,
I'm just
then I would say
the
S.
Top.
I would
that's
say
what
S.
I'm saying. Pogs are an S.
I would say maybe A, but like it's because like they were like a what's the, like lightning in a bottle. Like
a
they
flash
came
in
and
a
they
pan?
Went. Yeah, yeah. There's that's the better word for it. Like flash in a pan. Like they came and they went.
They were around for a year.
Did
though.
You have a
it's
pog
like they
maker?
Were
one whole year. But I didn't have a maker, but I had tons of them.
I did not have a pog maker. I had a friend who had a pog maker, and we made some, but I didn't.
You would push down and turn it and it would like cut it out, right?
It was essentially a circular die is all that it was.
I was like, I have basically that for making buttons now, but not until I was older.
So I remember, did you have the big green sleeve?
Yes.
Like the big plastic 100%. Sleeve, and then you twist it. Yeah. And you keep all your slammers
on top. Jake, if you're listening, we had the Alien Men ones, like Pogs with little aliens on it. He'll know exactly what I'm talking about.
Me too. I had those too. They weren't Pog official brand. There were actually very few Pog official brands. This was like the first mass bootlegged toy that everyone sold. I remember going to like the comic book shop and they just had
they're everywhere.
You know, glass cases full of original Pogs, like real Pogs, and the thing that set them apart, the Pog Caveman was the mascot for Pog. He looked almost like Captain Caveman.
Yeah.
And then what set a true Pog apart from a bootleg Pog was the true Pog had a dimple pressed into it, like a die cut into it, and it had a staple on the top third of the Pog to make it weighted so that when you slammed it, it would actually have some flip to it as opposed to just a stamped piece of cardboard. Did you know that, Patrick?
No, I never had legit Pogs. Mm-hmm. I had the Pog Maker, but I was
you
just
made
like,
all like your own Pogs himself.
Yeah. Your Pogs were made out of like old Bible, like hymn books and things.
Cheerio boxes.
I had Captain Crunch. Okay. Yeah, so I would say Pogs are an S. That's what I would say.
All right.
That's fine.
Okay.
S minus, maybe?
I don't know. Nobody knows what these are. Popples.
I know what Popples are.
I'm going to Google it while...
So what are Popples?
So Popples are like these little stuffed animals that look almost like a cross between a bunny
yes,
and like a bear.
I do know what this is.
They're multicolored, and then they would fit into this little like... into this like pouch. Little satchel. Yeah, it's like a little pouch thing.
Yeah.
And yeah, so they had like small ones and then they went all the way up to like to large ones. They were very cute. I would probably put them at like a C.
They kind of look like Care Bears.
There's a chance that Netflix is doing a show
like
of them.
Knockoff version.
There's
Funko toys of them, which is pretty cool. So
right. These weren't terribly these were very popular is what I was trying to say.
Oh yeah. I've never played with one, I'm gonna have to rank it low, but they are cute.
I got these confused for a little bit with do you remember Lion Bee? Bumble Lion. Do you remember the cross animals? Mm. Like look up Bumble Lion. I can't
Netflix
remember what the
does
line.
Have a 2016 show called Popples.
Yeah, so
oh
Popples.
Yeah, absolutely can see what you're talking about. Mm-hmm.
Do you guys remember Bumble Lion?
After looking at this picture, I would have never known that name.
Patrick, do you remember?
I'm looking it up now.
Is this like a cartoon? Was this a cartoon?
Oh, yeah. I remember the cartoon.
How do you spell it? Because I'm trying to Google it now and I'm not seeing it.
I just spelled Bumble Lion, B-U-M-B-L-E-L-I-O-N.
I put Bubble Lion. That's why. Okay, Bumble Lion.
He looks
there
like
he
a
is.
Bee and a lion together.
The Wuzzles.
Very cute.
The Wuzzles. That's what... I need to draw one of the Wuzzles. I need to draw one of the
Yeah,
Wuzzles.
For sure. Okay.
All right. So next toy, let's go to, gosh, I hated these. Creepy crawlers.
Yeah.
You hated them.
They were creepy.
Creepy crawlers.
I'm not a creepy person. And
I liked making them.
I remember the commercial for them. Okay. So wait, y'all both had
that
them.
Was for you, Lauren.
I didn't have it.
Creepy
I would like
paper.
Go to my friend's house. Oh yeah.
Thank you. I'm like, come on, Lauren, this is for you. You need to catch
Sorry,
this
my internet cut out.
Okay. Right. Creepy crawlers, I'm gonna say
yeah.
B.
I'm gonna say S.
I'm gonna say B.
Wow.
Those are awesome. I remember like because you could like put the goo in the little like oven thing and then you get to like cook them and they would all be like different each time and they would like had glow in the dark stuff and you could get other animals. I love
I
that.
I agree. And I love the marketing for them. So maybe I'd give them an A. But they weren't edible, and that was the frustrating part.
And you couldn't.
We should have traded like Easy Bake Oven and
crawlers.
The creepy crawlers.
Yeah, I ate one too many creepy crawlers and was hospitalized because I was eating rubber.
All right, I'm gonna split the difference.
You thought you had an Easy Bake Oven.
I'm gonna split the difference from the B and S and put it in A. All right,
okay, so, okay. Wait. I do think that's a good point, though, Lauren. What you just said. This was like the boy version of the Easy Bake Oven, and that's what I thought that it would be. But they were not edible, so.
Yeah, I think that's why. Like, I had the Easy Bake Oven, but the toy version, like the version where you literally make your own toys, was so cool.
I would have put an Easy Bake Oven S tier, but I'm they have to still make those. Oh, I don't know that
they
would.
Absolutely do because my little cousins have them.
They just had a light bulb in them, but I would. Oh gosh, okay. Okay, this is the...
I wonder what those taste like. I don't remember them tasting good.
The Tommy Turnin Turbo. And I'm showing you on the screen share. I had one of these. Do y'all remember these?
No.
I do remember this, yeah.
So basically what would happen...
I didn't have one, though.
Well, this one's been modded, so don't look at this one. But basically...
Oh, that's cool.
Andrew, you would turn the key, and when you turn the key, this light would come on, and then it just... It's something is in there, like a reel that just keeps... spinning.
Yeah, it's like really simple.
This toy is, I don't know, man. Like, hey, like we're gonna emulate a real dashboard of a really crappy car. Like that's what.
You have to take this back to the 90s, and this looked like
yeah.
You know,
I was gonna say it wasn't a
like
crappy
cars
car
the
then.
Same now.
So, but hold on. Here's the front of it. This guy's gonna.
The front is Porsche.
I'm showing you the video. So, see, and it had like. Mechanical stuff. So whenever
I actually do think I remember this. Yeah. When I saw the RPM like meter go up.
See, look,
I think I remember that.
So when you turned, it's actually moving that little piece of the car on the screen. You know, whatever that overlay is. So yeah. Once you accelerate with the shifter on the right side, it'll all start moving. Huh. There it is,
right there. Okay, that's a pretty cool toy.
Yeah,
I sat there for so long.
How sad. think back on that moment. I know you have fond memories, but think back on it from a third party perspective. You sitting there going on your magical trips to where? You're just sitting on the Barca lounger. Just
but look,
like, no. Let him go, Haskell. Magic. He's having fun.
The trip meter, actually, the odometer goes up. The trip goes up. When you shift up, the RPMs go up. You change the shifter. Like it's a really rad toy. So this is S for me. Because I owned one, and I'm not sure that y'all did.
I didn't, so it's definitely your vote.
Yeah.
This is for sure an S, no doubt about it. All right.
It seems like it would be fun to play with now, so I'm going to give it good marks for that.
Yeah. I remember it being bigger, but then I saw it in that guy's hands, and it wasn't that big. Okay.
You were once little, too.
Please don't isolate that audio. Okay.
Please do, and send it to me.
All right, the game Crossfire.
Yeah.
You'll get caught up in the crossfire.
I never had this game.
S.
I wanted the game so bad, but it looked like you just shot like
I've never steel actually played
balls
it, but I
at
remember
people,
that commercial.
And it seemed very dangerous.
It's essentially like Beyblades, but like in ball form. Yeah.
And no anime attached, so boring.
Yeah.
I'm kidding.
I would give this game an S. Yeah. I never owned it, but my friends had it.
I was like, yeah.
I'm realizing I didn't own a lot of stuff, but I had friends who had all of this stuff.
You're making fun of Patrick for like having his like loner toy.
Little sad toy. But I would just go use my friend's toy, and I remember Crossfire. And honestly, the marketing for it is probably as much, if not more nostalgic than the actual game.
Absolutely.
Yeah, because literally you said the name. I was like, you should have just sang it like the commercial, because that's like how I pronounce it.
All right. Talk Boy.
So a Talk Boy is something I never owned, and none of my friends owned it, but it was made popular by Home Alone 2 when he's in the hotel with Donald Trump and he does the...
And Tim Curry,
yeah. And he does the credit card, you got it. And he plays back all that stuff. I think it's...
It was just a tape recorder?
It's a tape recorder that slows your voice, that brings your voice down an octave or two, and then it also pitches it up. It's a pitch thing, and it had a turtle. It had a turtle and a rabbit as the meter that you could slide it back. You could toggle it back and forth to change the speed of the audio. I would put this at like a B.
Yeah,
I was imagining
that
some company made a tape player and they realized it had a fatal flaw. And it made everything sound like this. And then they were just like, we'll call it a Talk Boy. Done.
Yep. Throw it at kids. Yeah, fixed. Great.
All right. Stretch Armstrong. Never had one. Doesn't look fun.
Oh, no. Those were really fun when you're a kid. Because you like one friend holds it and then goes to the other side of the room.
And then you rip it and then it's done. You throw it in the trash because you find out that it's just full
one.
Of those
Did you guys
like,
rip
beads.
One?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, it's like sand.
Yeah. It's like kinetic sand with rubber around it. I absolutely ripped one.
So what would you rate it?
I would rate it a C.
Yeah, wait, like D, C. I remember, D, I mean, like, I had fun playing with them, but...
Do we have F?
There's a reason they don't make them anymore.
No, D is the lowest.
Okay, then yeah, C. Yeah.
Yeah, I don't... I don't know.
It's not the lowest, but it's also probably one above the lowest.
Gotcha. All right. Tamagotchi. One of the only tech items. We don't have a lot of tech items on here, but Tamagotchis, I was addicted for a bit.
Yeah, I would say an A or an S, yeah.
I had like the best memories of like Tamagotchis were really popular when I was like a summer school like counselor. Summer camp counselor. And when the kids were in their swim lessons, they would just hand me this pile of Tamagotchis and I'd have to try and take care of them.
Yeah, you'd have to feed them. You'd have to.
And they're like all beeping. It's like, okay, clean the poop here. That one needs food. Like,
who knew? Did you charge them? Did you charge them babysitting fees? Yeah, it was kind of like a pre-Sims and pre-like Farmville.
I think it's like pre-Pokemon even. Like, it's
but Pokemon, you don't have to keep, you don't have to keep track of Pokemon. Like, you don't have to feed Pokemon.
Well, they made like Pokemon versions of it later, you know? Like, so I feel like they're like the like little take care of a monster thing is very Pokemon to me.
Oh yeah, okay. Yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah. So I would say there's either an A or an S.
All right. S. Okay. I'm gonna make it S because I think it's a toy that just absolutely lived up to what it was.
It was so much fun. Like, those were great. If I had one now, I would play with it.
All right. Polly Pocket, which I want to point out, they probably really can't. I know they do make it in some form now, but not the original form because it would probably kill children. I mean, they're very tiny pieces. The whole point of it was like, look how small we can make these pieces. Yes. And now I liked it. Let's let a three-year-old play with it.
The full set could be swallowed.
Yeah.
And just to be clear, we're saying Polly Pocket and Mighty Max.
And Mighty Max. Yeah. We're putting them in the same category. Polly Pocket and Mighty Max. Now, there was a time where I found Polly Pocket, Mighty Max, like, let me just be serious. Polly Pocket. We didn't have Mighty Max. We had Polly Pocket. And it was really exciting to me for like a couple minutes. But then I realized like, oh, you can't do anything else. Like,
okay. Did you just use the small like...
had like the makeup case looking ones?
Yeah. The little clamshell thing. Yeah.
Clamshell ones.
But that's what you needed to get was Skull Mountain. So Skull Mountain was like the big playset.
That was the coolest one. He's saying for Polly Pocket, that's Mighty Max for sure.
Oh, that's true. That's true. But it opens up. But what you were saying is true about Mighty Max too. The small ones were just tiny little foundation.
They had like two or three levels, and you could sit
and they would have like one or two moving pieces, and then like a bad guy, and then like a new
the
Max
moving
that
pieces
that set. Like
the moving pieces were only in the medium size ones, so there were small ones that were about.
Oh
this
yeah,
big,
you're right.
And
yeah,
nothing like, moved in there, and it only had a bad guy, and then Mighty Max, and then in the medium size cases, you'd open those up, and there might be a moving piece or two, and then a bad guy or two, and then Mighty Max. But then Skull Mountain was about this big.
Oh, gosh.
And it opened up this way, and there were pieces that swung out. There were moving components. The tongue came out and became a bridge over the moat. The eye was a catapult that shot a fireball out of it.
Yes.
It was freaking awesome. Freaking awesome. It gets an S, hands down. S+.
Yeah, I remember playing with like both of those toys forever. It was so much fun. Like, those are great toys.
And then they came out with the cartoon about Mighty Max.
So I kind of want to split this up then. I'm happy to make Mighty Max an S, but I don't think I can give Polly Pocket an S.
I would rank Mighty Max higher because like I had fun mixing them together when we were kids because like my brother would have Mighty Max and I'd have had Polly Pocket.
Did
so
they
then, like,
breed?
I could play with them I guess. It's also just like, for me, it was like, oh, you could have a girl character, like, basically.
Is nobody going to make putting his Mighty Max into her Polly Pocket? No one's going to say that?
No, these are innocent times, Patrick.
Okay, let me say this about Mighty Max. They did have this moment where he graduated from being a little kid where he was like, he had a bigger head and like he was much more caricaturized. Uh-huh. And then there was a point where he became a teenager and he was much more proportional. And I did not like the proportional Mighty Max figures. If you go back and look now, there's two distinct kinds of Mighty Max. And they would always change his hat color. Sometimes it would be red. Sometimes it would be blue. Sometimes it'd be purple. But then there was a point where he became a teenager. And I think it was when the show came out. And they tried to emulate this like 13-year-old Max figure, but he's this big, and I didn't like that style as much. So,
but he's still S tier for you.
He's still S tier.
Okay, all right.
I actually went last year and tried to buy a couple sets on eBay because I was feeling nostalgic.
Nice.
All right, we have
that and Monsters in My Pocket.
That was the name of my sex tape. All right, we have
monsters, plural.
Yeah.
All right.
All right. We only have a couple more left.
It's a twist.
Street sharks.
Street sharks. So high. I fantastic. Have one still.
Is like, Street Sharks is the one that like Vin Diesel's in a commercial? Is that right?
I mean, it has a very Vin Diesel-y vibe. Like if they remade it now, he would certainly do one of their voices. I feel
Street Sharks. Let me look it up. Street Sharks. Vin Diesel.
Yeah, Vin Diesel was cool, though, is in a 1994 Street Shark commercial.
Oh, he becomes a shark at the end. I remember this. I'm watching it right now.
They should do that. Like he should be in a remake of Street Sharks.
wait. So you said you love Street Sharks, Lauren?
Yeah, they were such fun toys. Like, first of all, they integrated with Ninja Turtle toys very, very nicely because they look like they could be buddies or whatever, and they're about the same size and all that. But they each had like their own thing that they do that was like really cool because they were like pretty big action figures. So like, I remember like one could squirt water, and like the one that I have is the like great white shark, and if you like pull his arm down, his like mouth closes and stuff. Like they all had like a cool little like thing that they did. Like those were cool toys.
So what would you rate a Street Shark?
They also came out with those puppets. You could act the puppets out. You remember from Pizza Hut, you could get the Land Before Time puppets
from Pizza Hut.
Yes, and they had the Land Before Time puppets with Petrie and the Tyrannosaurus Rex and everything. It was like that. That rubber, you put your hand in, and it would get sweaty in 30 seconds.
Yes, those rubber Pizza Hut toys should have been one of the categories.
They really should have. In with the McDonald's Transformer foods.
Those all. Say, we could just do a best fast food toy tier list in the future.
That would be fun.
All right, I would put these at an A.
Okay, I'll go for an A. Like, I feel like S is extra special.
Yeah.
But I love those.
All right, we have three more left. Barnyard Commandos.
Yes.
I'm not familiar with this, but it sounds like
Google
Street Sharks. I think I can imagine it. Like
it is a lot like that, but it's much more, it's a little bit more stylized. It feels a little bit more like if Little Yellow Books made like teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. That's kind of that's how I would say it.
Oh my
Barnyard
gosh,
Commandos.
Funny.
I remember the sheep.
It reminds me of like Plants vs. Zombies.
Yeah, that's a great. That's
I
a great
think the design is actually pretty future.
Yeah, these are really good.
I think they're fantastic. The toys are amazing. And then they had like the illustrations that went along with it. And like the comic book, I don't know if it was a comic book, but I know the box art was just insanely good. I actually might try to find some of these on
really
eBay.
Yeah, these are really cool.
Yeah, I'm gonna put these at an S, a nostalgic S, because I never think about these. I never think about them, but when I go back and think about them, I think about them with so much fondness and how cool they are even now. You could see someone making this toy exactly as it is right now at DesignerCon, and people will be flipping their mind over. Mm-hmm.
That's what I'm saying. Like the design of this would absolutely
it
fit
looks
in
really
today.
Modern,
nothing about the design looks retro. The material, the material can look a little bit retro, but the design of them is amazing.
Yeah, these are really awesome. It looks like there was a TV show of it, like a cartoon, but I don't know which came first, the toys or the show.
I don't think there actually was a TV show. But
I'm seeing a single VHS tape, so there might be a pilot episode that exists. Something. Yeah.
All right, last two. Glowworms.
So glowworms.
Make sure I know what this is.
So glowworms, they look like they were in a little sleeping bag. They were like not upholstered. They were plush on the bottom. Their head was this rubber that was a translucent rubber, and you could turn them on, and their faces would glow at night. So they were kind of like
these are
night
terrifying
that you could sleep with.
Yeah, I'm not familiar with this.
And they would have like a sleep cap on, like an old timey Scrooge sleep hat on. And their faces always looked like they were high. Like they always.
That is a really good description,
right? They always look like they have just smoked the biggest blunt.
Guys, and we've messed.
I mean, they
up.
Kind of look like a blunt. Like,
we've messed up.
Why?
What do we?
They
you can
still
buy them?
Sell glowworms.
Are you kidding?
Wow!
Wowza! I'm surprised.
I mean, it says they're in stock at Walmart for $14.96, 2-day delivery.
Do they look the same way?
Yes. So
how are parents okay with this?
No, they're a little more updated. It looks like a little cuter, in my opinion. Like it's a lot like shorter and rounder.
So this
the face is a lot less terrifying.
We just have to put this as a D because it doesn't fit the list, and also they're terrifying.
Yeah.
All right. Very last one.
What's y'all stench on Cabbage Patch Kids, and are they terrifying?
They're not terrifying, but they're not great.
Yeah. honestly, we had Cabbage Patch Kids when we were at our poorest. So I associate them with being poor.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's all I know.
I only remember playing with them, like, when my uncle only had two Cabbage Patch Kids at his house. So
is that all he could afford?
That's it?
No, he just didn't have kids. He didn't have forks.
He didn't have plates. He didn't have anything. He had two Cabbage Patch Kids. No one talked to that uncle, by the way. He was a freak.
But yeah.
All right.
Cabbage Patch Kids are weird to me.
Yeah. Last one, and there's maybe a little disagreement on what form this is going to take, but the last one is G.I. Joe. And we talked about it two ways, because I had the 12 inchers with all the... I mean, basically, I wanted Barbies. So I had the 12-inch G.I. Joes. I had all the clothes. I wish I still had kept them all, because a few I had would be worth some absolute money right now. Mm-hmm. I probably had 6 or 8 of them, plus a ton of outfits and accessories.
Dang.
That said, Andrew, I know that you've expressed love for the 5-inch, like...
So they're 3 and 3/4 inch.
Okay. Hard plastic, held together with a rubber band. You
take them apart.
Bend an arm all the way around. Like, every joint moves 360 degrees.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
That was my experience with G.I. Joe. I did not play with the other G.I. Joes. I only played with these G.I. Joes a minimal amount. And I think it was only because people bought, like, for, like, birthdays, like, kind of outskirts friends, the people that, like, were in your class and you invited them because everyone else in class was invited. Those people, their parents would buy the gifts and they didn't know me at all. So it wouldn't be Ninja Turtles and it wouldn't be, like, drawing stuff. It would only be G.I. Joe's because that was the boy toy.
Yeah.
And so those are the ones that I played with. But I did love their ability to be whatever I needed them to be, because they were decently articulated and you could still stand them up too, which was pretty nice, until they got all loose. They could stand up and you could pose them a little bit. It was like one of the first toys you could actually pose, which I actually really liked.
Well, we'll go with so they don't make the 12 inch anymore, so I think we have to call it the 12 inch.
Okay.
Although you're saying you don't think they make the 3.5 inch either.
The 3.75, I don't know that they do. I think they
might.
3 1/4. Yeah.
3 3/4, whatever it is.
Yes.
Well, in any case, that form of G.I. Joe is dead. It has to be S tier. I don't see how it can't be S tier.
That's fine. Yeah. I never like owned any of those, so I don't have like the strongest opinion, but like obviously they're classic.
They're classic and they're like the male equivalent to the Barbie. They can kind of take over your entire imagination. They can be whatever you need them to be. So in that case, I would say, yeah, you can put them S. I would probably put them at a B or an A, but we'll allow the S.
Okay.
Yeah, sure.
Are we talking? But I'm talking about the 12-inch.
Yeah, the 12-inch. Yeah.
I know. 12-inch or S.
They're worth so much money now. That's got to count for something.
I mean, real fabric, real stitching.
Yeah.
Real
grenades. I think that's cool.
Do you know how they were able to do it? Initially, they weren't allowed to market just a human figure. They had to add the scar to make it the scar on his face to make it something that they were actually allowed to market, because they couldn't just market a male figure. Like Barbie was stylized and she had like just an anatomical, not really, but like moderately anatomical generic human man. And they were saying that can't be anything. So they had to brand him. So part of his branding was getting that scar on his face.
Interesting.
I just loved how their hair was flocked. I would just sit there and rub their hair. Anyway, I
thought, like, because like Barbies had like hair that you could like brush, and so like I always thought it was like kind of like most like all the boys always had like the hair like molded in, not as cool.
So what was this tiering process? What do we do with this now?
So that's the list.
Yes.
I'm gonna go convert this into the traditional looking tier list. And then we'll end up sharing it with the community. But what you can do, so we'll put this into a tier maker, like a generator. You can take our list and you're going to be able to rank it how you think it should be ranked. There's things I put as S that you might say are a D or whatever, but I'm going to put this together in the next couple of days. You'll be able to take our list, because if you've been sitting there yelling at the radio the whole time, and you'll be able to put it into your own list and then share your list with us.
I love it. That's fun. That's a cool idea.
Yeah, awesome. Very good.
Okay. Well, we managed to make two long episodes.
Yep.
So congratulations, yep, everybody. If you stuck with us for both episodes this week, hey, congratulations. This was a fun one, though. There was a lot of cool, fun stuff to talk about. A lot of important stuff to dialogue about. There's stuff to chat about in our Slack channel. So you can find all the show notes and links to all this stuff over at mof1.network. While you're there, you can join the Slack community and join the conversation there. We'll probably be talking about this for the next several weeks now. because to say something is an S when someone else thinks it's a D or vice versa, we've learned in our community, is fighting words. So just go check out the conversation there. You can rate and review the show on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, all the different places. Go there and do that. It helps us out a whole lot. You can also contribute to the show on Patreon. Go to patreon.com/mof1podcast. As we've discussed, the $2, $4, and $6 tier, you're starting to get more and more stuff, exclusive stuff just for our patrons. They got a lot of extra stuff this week. So check it out. You just do yourself a favor and do us a favor while you're at it. What else am I missing? I don't think much. Oh, we need to roll some dice for next week. What the heck am I thinking? Way to go, Patrick. Good job.
You're welcome.
So we'll roll dice to end this episode. But yeah, I think M of One podcast and all the different social networks.
Mm-hmm.
There was an episode this past week of like a recap episode of Dungeons and Designers. Go check that out on our YouTube page. We have the
second episode of Drawing Board is up if you missed that last week.
There's a lot of content out there. Go check it out.
Mm-hmm.
All right, Patrick, why don't you roll?
I rolled a 2.
I'm sorry. I need my list.
It's okay. I'm Patrick Hill.
Toys.
And I rolled past.
Maybe you could follow up on your bracket.
Nope.
Or your rankings.
Maybe now we talk about the
stick.
This week is your mulligan week.
Maybe this week is the Happy Meal toys again.
Yeah.
Or maybe one of us will roll a 2 and we'll both have to re-roll. So it's fine.
Great.
Yeah. All right.
Roll for us, Lauren.
Okay. I got 17.
Oh, that's not her.
That is design. Yay.
All right. Nice job.
Oh, modifier is 1.
Nice. So passed. Past design. Yes, past. That's exciting. All right, I'm going to roll.
Yeah, that's a good one.
I got a 5. Sorry, Patrick. And then a 2.
5 is art. Great choice.
Art and present.
Art.
Present art. Okay. Ooh, I have a lot to talk about when it comes to NFTs. Can't jump into it now. All right. We're going to jump out of this episode now. You can find me at Andrew Sale with 3s instead of E's.
I am at Not Cool Co. everywhere.
I'm at squatch.in. That's squatch.in. That's squatch.
We're going to get out of here. I'm Andrew.
I'm Lauren.
I'm Patrick.
Peace out.
Adios.
Bye.